Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We resume our study of the Marvelous Messiah, an extended examination and teaching on all the major prophecies about Messiah given in the Bible that pertain to Messiah's first coming and their corresponding historical fulfillment in the life and person of Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, Hebrew for Jesus Christ. And we've been focusing on prophecies that foretold Messiah's resurrection from the dead, and with that resurrection, his victory over death and his deliverance of mankind from death through his resurrection. For the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, guarantees the resurrection of all those who trust in him. Christ is the first one to rise from the dead. First, automatically meaning there will be a second, third, fourth, and fifth, etc. We too shall also be raised as he was raised from the dead. If we believe upon him for salvation. And as we close this major section of messianic prophecy dealing with the resurrection of Messiah and move on to the prophecies that focus on the ascension of Messiah from heaven to earth, let me just say, for 2,000 years, Christianity has been victorious. It has conquered every other political enemy, false religion, and historical persecutions because of the power of the risen Messiah. The Christian faith has been successful for 2,000 years. Critiques and attacks from the infidel notwithstanding, because of the person of Jesus. The risen Christ and his power to change and redeem lives has been triumphant over human sin and misery because Jesus is just not one of the comparative religions of the world, nor is he another good or moral philosopher. No, the reason why the Christian faith is victorious, it is because it is based upon a divine power and person in the lives of men. And that power and person is Jesus Christ. Christianity is Christ risen. Well, I should say Christianity is Messiah Jesus or Christ crucified, risen, exalted, and returning to the earth, and presently, before he returns to the earth, reigning in the hearts of the redeemed. Praise God. I want to now transition into another major topic of messianic prophecy, and that is prophecies about Messiah's ascension to heaven and his exaltation to the right hand of the Father. And for many of these categories of messianic prophecy, I would be remiss not to credit the great and late Dr. Herbert Lockyer. He gives an excellent taxonomy or categorization of the different topics of messianic prophecy in his superb book, All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible. Those of you listening to this broadcast on radio or on the internet through our MP3 programs, you need to get that book, All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible. So much of my categorization of these topics, different topics of messianic prophecy, are based upon his taxonomy. Anyway, let us now talk about the prophecies of the risen, and in this instance, ascended Messiah. Jesus ascended to heaven after he spent 40 days of intensive ministry training with his disciples. in his resurrected body on earth, particularly in Israel. Most of Jesus' time was spent in northern Galilee with his disciples during his last days on earth. The 40-day post-resurrection ministry of Jesus. You know, there's a good book on that subject concerning the 40-day ministry Jesus had with his disciples between his resurrection and ascension. It is called The Last Days of Jesus by T.V. Moore. And a really good practical study of this important period of time in Messiah's ministry. You know, this is an often overlooked subject by theologians in the church. Jesus' 40-day post-resurrection ministry with his disciples before ascending into heaven. And the ascension is another subject under the study of Messiah or Christology that's also neglected. So hopefully we can give it the attention it certainly warrants from the Word of God. An infallible proof of the resurrection was that Jesus Christ showed himself alive after a horrible death. He died. That's what the New Testament says. The word show means to exhibit, openly present, and publicly display or place yourself before an audience. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He placed himself among an audience who believed on him, and by that belief would carry out his mission. He did not waste time with those who were his enemies. Yeah, certainly he could have appeared to Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, and once again the atheist and the critic of the New Testament will say, well, if he really rose from the dead, why didn't he appear to his enemies? Oh, he will. But at that time, 2,000 years ago, after his resurrection, the time was not yet. He even told the disciples that when he said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Jesus will appear, physically appear, in glory before all of his enemies when he returns to earth. And they will be so shocked and horrified that they will wish that there will be an avalanche of rocks from the mountains to cover them from the blazing glory of the returning Messiah. So he will appear and publicly present himself before this God-hating, Christ-rejecting world at his second coming. So that's what you can tell the atheist and the smug skeptic who says, well, if he really rose from the dead, why didn't he go around and show everybody? Well, God has a reason for that. Number one, he had already trained a small band of people, his disciples, the apostles. And they weren't initially expecting him to rise from the dead that first Sunday of the resurrection. So when Jesus did appear, when he appeared to his followers after the resurrection, when he first appeared, starting with Mary Magdalene, they weren't expecting him to rise from the dead. His predictions of resurrection during his three-year ministry, notwithstanding. So, Jesus' resurrection was not anticipated or believed by his own followers until they personally and empirically encountered the risen Christ. Anyway, the scripture tells us that he showed himself to be alive after death. Herbert Lockyer says the word show here implies a public presentation, placing oneself before the scrutiny of an audience. And that's exactly what the risen Jesus did with his disciples. Lockyer says concerning this, this exhibition or manifesting provided conclusive evidence of his actual person. After sending Mary Magdalene as the apostle of the resurrection to the apostles, The risen one followed up the good tidings with personal appearances to confirm their faith, and also that they in turn might become eyewitnesses of his being alive. 40 days elapsed between the day of his victory over the grave and the day he was taken up to heaven. And during those 40 days, the disciples had many opportunities of walking, talking, and eating with their risen Lord. Such days were necessary in order to equip the disciples to function as heralds of his resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. They were days of memorable spiritual instruction when they learned of the work they had to do and of the doctrines they were to teach. So the Lord Jesus trained his disciples, or I should say finished their training, because after all, he did train them for 3 years during his earthly ministry in the land of Israel. And so he was finishing up this training, completing it. One can liken it to the analogy of graduate school to then go on to receive your doctorate. So when they were with Jesus for 3 years, it was, so to speak, their undergraduate and graduate training. And then when he rose from the dead and sent the Spirit, the disciples then became spiritual doctors. Couldn't help or resist the temptation of using the analogy from the academic world. Those of you who have earned degrees know and can relate with that. You know, we read here the inspired account of how Jesus spent 40 intensive days after his resurrection teaching and training the disciples, and one can't help but wonder how the risen Lord spent those 40 days apart from the few appearances to his own. No doubt his days were so crowded with preaching, teaching, and healing. Intense and exhausting activity was his. Now, after his resurrection, there was no public ministry, and what spiritual instruction that was given was exclusively reserved and confined to his disciples. But before Jesus left in that 40-day period, he did promise that once he ascended, he would send the Holy Spirit. Now, no doubt when Jesus was here for 40 days in his resurrected body, he did not grow tired or weary or exhausted and thus require sleep, because the resurrection body is immortal and it's forever strong. So I'm sure Jesus, during the times, that downtimes that the disciples who still were rested or who were still operating their physical bodies slept, he, Jesus, prayed. Note also the number here of days that Jesus spent with his disciples in his post-resurrection, in this post-resurrection period. 40. 40 days. 40 is a significant number in the Bible. And don't kid yourself. Numbers in Scripture do have symbolic meaning to convey important theological truth about God and his relationship with man, and they also serve to show us important aspects of his plan, God's plan. 40 days is the number in Scripture for the period of testing. It's also a period of trial or probation. The number 40 is usually associated in Scripture with testing. Or it can also be a period of judgment. And in that period, if the person being tested reformed himself and followed God, he would come through the trial successfully. The number 40, with the meaning of testing associated with it, goes all the way back to Genesis. For it was 40 days Noah witnessed the flood destroying the godless antediluvians from off the face of the earth. It was 40 days Moses was in Mount Sinai after the sin of Israel in their worship of the golden calf. 40 days the spies went out through the land of Israel, and they came back and said, the people, the inhabitants, are like giants before us, and we are like grasshoppers to them. They gave a report of unbelief, and for that, God imposed the judgment of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness for Israel. 40 days Elijah spent in Horeb. 40 days Jonah preached repentance to the Ninevites. For 40 days Ezekiel lay on his right side to symbolize the 40 years of Judah's transgression. 40 days, we are told, the Lord was led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. And lastly, it was 40 days that the disciples spent with the resurrected Jesus before his ascension to heaven. And that was more than enough time for the disciples to realize beyond any shadow of doubt that the man appearing before them, number one, had survived death, was raised from death, and number two, that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Third, they realized that he did have a physical body, although it was a different kind of body in relation to the mortal, corruptible bodies of the earth. The visible marks of the nails in Jesus' hands and feet and the wound in his side proved it was the same Jesus who was crucified, was now risen and was walking and fellowshipping with them. Also, they knew Jesus' body was physical, corporeal, material, because he made them breakfast and then ate the breakfast of broiled fish with the disciples, John 21, 7 and 12. So ghosts cannot eat. That fact right there is another proof for the physical resurrection of Jesus. You know, what a wonderful time it was for the disciples to spend with the victorious risen Jesus. They realized they could face anything in this world, and that they would not be intimidated by death itself, because they had proof that death had been conquered, forever conquered, and defeated when they looked upon the risen Jesus. Not only that, not only was that true, but it was reinforced by the fact that Jesus gave them the Spirit, so they could face whatever adversity, whatever danger, whatever persecution, and yea, in the end, even death itself by martyrdom, because they had met and knew Jesus rose from the dead. Such was his power that in his risen body, Jesus was physically now immortal, impervious to death. The resurrection body, and this is a whole different subject and study altogether, the resurrection body, though physical, material, and identifiable to the same body lived on earth, is very different because it can do more in greater capacity. For instance, the risen body of Jesus could appear in a room even though the doors were locked and closed tight. Remember John's account of the resurrection when Jesus appeared before the disciples? We are told the doors were shut. the doors were shut. That means they were locked. Jesus just appeared in the room itself. So he either just appeared or he walked through the doors. With our minds, this is hard for us to understand, because bodies in this dimension, which are tangible and physical, are impeded by other physical objects. Not so with the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body, bearing nail prints, was capable of assimilating food and passing through solid objects. That's because the resurrection body is a transdimensional in nature. It exists above the third dimension and all the other dimensions following it. But at the same time, it can visit this dimension and be seen, touched, felt, and experienced by those confined to this dimension. The resurrection appearances of Jesus prove that. Not only that, the resurrection body, taking the example from the risen Jesus as our proof, the resurrection body can travel faster than the speed of light. Because Jesus was able to go from our world to the Father in heaven. The Bible tells us there are three heavens. There is the atmospheric heaven. That's the blue sky and the white clouds you see in the sky. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the stellar heavens, the universe with all the stars. The third heaven lies beyond that. That's the abode of God Almighty, the redeemed, and the angels. This is beyond our universe. So Jesus could transverse an immeasurable distance from this earth to the third heaven at will, suddenly and instantaneously. Well, that tells us that the resurrection body will not be subject to the laws of this plane. That doesn't mean they violate those laws. They simply suspend them so that a greater principle can be applied. So it is with the resurrection body of Jesus being transdimensional. Our bodies will also be transdimensional. We will not be impeded by physical objects. We'll be able to travel from earth to heaven in the kingdom like Jesus did. That's exciting, folks. Although the body of the risen Lord was the same body of his human life, but glorified, it was no longer subject to the ordinary conditions or limitations of human life on earth. The power that upheld Christ's body as he walked upon the Sea of Galilee made it during those 40 days independent of laws of gravitation and of material resistance. We already talked about how the locked doors were no impediment for Jesus appearing and visiting his disciples. Also, Jesus' ascension was not impaired or impeded by the laws of gravity. I said in the last lesson that I think when Jesus ascended to heaven, I don't think he was just slowly going up. I think it was like lightning, except in the opposite direction. Lightning falls down to the earth, but Jesus went up, and he went up very, very quickly. And I think that's why the disciples were straining to see where he went up into heaven. They saw him go up, but they were still trying to see him go. So I believe when he went, it was a quick darting upward act or motion. So Jesus' resurrection body was able to transcend the normal physical limitations of our three-dimensional space-time continuum. Don't forget also that he could disappear. He could leave in an instant. When he appeared before the disciples of Emmaus on the road and talked with him, and then they went, broke bread together. After that, they recognized it was Jesus, and he disappeared from their midst. He didn't just walk out of the door. Well, even before Jesus' resurrection, while he was on this earth, possessed a similar power that is quite revealing. For instance, we are told several times in the Gospel of John that when the enemies of Jesus converged on him to kill him, to assault him, to accost him, he passed through their midst and went on his way. When he, Luke 4:30, when they sought to push him off the precipice in Nazareth, he walked through them. When in two places in John 5:13, John 8:59, when the Jewish authorities and their followers sought to arrest or harm Jesus, he passed through their midst. Now, some believe that in the Greek there, the word actually means he disappeared. During the bedlam and the chaos of riot that Jesus' words created from his enemies, as they rushed upon him, he slipped out of their midst instantaneously. So these instances prove that even in the days of his incarnation on earth, the days of his flesh, the sinless Son of God possessed a supernatural power over his body, which is wholly beyond our experience and full comprehension. We learn from this then that Jesus became visible or invisible only by a sovereign and act of his own will. Only by the exertion of his power could this happen. And we saints who make up the church, we too will be instantly caught up in the air to meet the Lord at his appearing at the rapture of the church. And when that happens, we will instantaneously transmute from a mortal, corruptible body subject to death and decay, and to having a glorious resurrection body that will be immortal and incorruptible. One commentator, quoted by Herbert Locke here, says this about the mysterious powers of the body, the resurrected body of Jesus. He quotes him saying, "In his risen and glorified state, time, space, the rock of the tomb, the walls and doors of buildings no longer hamper the body of Jesus. He appears where he desires to appear, and his visible presence disappears when he desires to have it so. This is wholly supernatural, wholly incomprehensible to our minds. When our bodies shall eventually enter the heavenly abode of existence, we may know something of these supreme mysteries. But no doubt, even then we shall really comprehend the profundities of the divine omnipresence of which the human nature of Jesus partakes and which he exercised since his vivification in the tomb, as in these wondrous appearances. He came and stood in their midst, is all that human thought and language can say. He did not walk through anything. The disciples did not see him take so many steps from the door or the wall to their midst. He was there, and that was all." So he just appeared at First Resurrection Sunday, and the doors were locked, meaning that Jesus' appearance, physical appearance to them, could not be impeded by physical impositions like locked doors. Jesus then came to his own though the doors were shut. How comforting it is to know that Jesus is also with us in the midst of the enemies of the faith and hostile powers in places where totalitarian and fascist governments outlaw belief in Jesus and the sharing of him with others. He is in our midst in such circumstances, and his power is available. Hallelujah. Well, I see my time has run out this time. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.